Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks, Monday, 9th of November, 2020. I am Christina Hines. People call me Dr. Hines because that's what I am, not a medical doctor, but political scientist. The number is to call 434-1790, and you can reach us via WhatsApp at 266-4862. Now, before we go to the phones, I would like to talk a little bit about what I've been thinking about over the last few days. And obviously, a lot of people has been captivated by the US presidential elections. And I felt a sense of relief when I heard that finally, after days, Joe Biden was the president-elect of the United States of America. I felt relieved. I didn't know how relieved I would have felt until the actual moment. And, you know, people say, why do we care so much about a US election? Well, for some of us, for many of us living in Barbados, the Caribbean, we have relatives who live in the United States of America. Also, this kind of rhetoric and discourse that came from the president, current president of the United States of America, was somewhat troubling to many of us as well. So to speak a little bit about elections and that election in the context, I wanted to bring our minds to elections that have been occurring in this COVID environment. We had the election in Guyana. This was before COVID-19. It was in March 2020. And the interesting thing about that election was that even though it was in March, before there were lockdowns and the like, in the Caribbean, certainly, we had this, the result of the election, the count and all kinds of controversy stretching into the COVID time period. We've also had in the Caribbean elections in St. Kitts and Nevis in June, in Anguilla also in June, Trinidad and Tobago in August, Jamaica, September, and very recently, St. Vincent and the Grenadines. That was also last week. And this was a historic election, we are told, because for the fifth time, we have Ralph Gonsalves and the ULP taking the leadership of the government. Now, that's quite interesting. In some of these elections, the voter turnout was low. This was not the case in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. You still had a voter turnout of in excess of 60%, which is around normal, we would say, in that context. It certainly is quite normal for what we would expect in Barbados. People still went out to vote. One wonders about having a prime minister for 5 consecutive terms. That is a lot of time in office. And it raises this question about term limits that we do see in the United States of America. So in the US, different electoral system, different political system, obviously, but in that system where you would have a president, the president is only allowed to serve 2 terms. Donald Trump was seeking his second, and it appears that he has not received it. Whether he will accept that is another story. It seems at the present that he's unwilling to accept it. Even though Trump was unsuccessful in this election, and the counting is still going on, we should note that, he still was able to gain so many votes in the United States of America. So I checked this morning to see if I could get the most up-to-date count. And what I see is that 47.7% of the vote went to Donald Trump. That's in excess of 71 million votes. Despite how problematic we may have thought, or many may have thought Donald Trump was, 71 million Americans still voted for him. Joe Biden received over 75 million. And that's 50.6% of the popular vote at present. So this certainly raises some questions for us over, you know, there was a lot of discussion about the Trump presidency and that there would be this overwhelming victory for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, but we didn't really see this overwhelming victory. I would also like to raise the fact that this is a historic in the United States of America, just as we have a historic victory in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. I don't know if it's historic in a good way in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, but I will reserve further comment on that. But we also have a historic victory in the United States of America. two reasons. One, Joe Biden would be the oldest president. And the other, the one that I think deserves more of the focus, is that Kamala Harris, vice president-elect, is the first woman and the first woman of color to rise to this office in the United States of America. And that is significant. Even though it is significant, what I will say is that the United States is very late to this party, very, very late indeed, because across the world, we have had women rise to high office well before this. You know, we're talking about the 1980s. So we can talk about Margaret Thatcher, Dame Eugenia Charles from Dominica, Indira Gandhi, Angela Merkel, obviously, in Germany, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, Liberia. There are so many women that we could point to. In our own region, we had our own Kamala, Prasad Bisesser, Trinidad and Tobago, Portia Simpson Miller, and obviously we have our prime minister here in Barbados, Miss Mia Motley. So as historic and symbolic as this is for the United States of America, they are quite late, even being, you know, this champion supposedly of democracy all over the world and the world's leading power. So these are just some things for us to think about. Also for us to think about is, you know, despite this change in the president and the presidency, what will this mean in real terms for the Caribbean? Will there be any significant foreign policy shifts in terms of the approach of the United States of America to the Caribbean? And my suspicion is that there will not be any substantial change based on what I have observed of American foreign policy, certainly in the post-Cold War era. Well, I've said a lot, so it's time for you to have your say. Let's go to the phones. Good morning.
Hello, good morning, Dr. Hines.
Yes, please.
Yeah, good morning. A couple of things here. I just want to refer to what you spoke about, the women who were prime ministers in the Caribbean.
Yes.
With the exception of that time, Eugenia Charles, I don't think the others that you mentioned were that successful as being prime ministers anyhow. The lady from Trinidad and the one from Jamaica, I don't think they were quite that success.
Okay.
They were prime ministers, yeah, but I don't think that their record was one that we could really look at and argue for anyhow.
Okay.
The other thing that I was...
But does that make a difference?
Pardon me?
Does that make a difference in terms of them being the first in their country and this being something that is historic and of note?
As far as I'm concerned, it would make a difference if they were first and they were successful. But if you just call them first because they first were a female, that to me don't make much sense.
Oh, it doesn't?
Not to me.
Oh.
The other thing was,
why not? Why doesn't it make sense?
So what you're just trying to prove that because you got the first prime minister and a woman in Trinidad or Jamaica, what is the difference?
It is a difference, though, especially for people who may not have been able to see themselves. Younger people, children, girls, who may not have seen that as an option or a possibility, it does show that this is possible. Now, I think lack of success, if there is or was lack of success in these two cases, is nothing that is unique to these women, because certainly there are others who were not that successful either. But I think these things are noteworthy for those who are looking on and who can see themselves in positions that they may not have seen themselves in before.
I would say it's a success for the black Latinos and Caribbean for this lady to become the vice president. That's
right.
Something that really a lot of black women in America could go after.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, let me get back to St. George, though.
Okay, yes, please.
The last decade, the last 10 years, nothing was done in St. George North. But apparently, some of us seem to have short memories. When the former deceased prime minister, the Wright professor, Odafa, was there for 14 years, Mr. Glenn Clark was in the house. So I can ask the question, what did they do for the 14 years that the Prime Minister Oyafo was the Prime Minister of Barbados? Because when you look at those roles, especially Jules, Bray Scott, Mayfield, Todd, and all around that area, you can see that these roles were needed repair for years, and more than 26 years. So my question there to Elise Thompson, what are they done when the Prime Minister Oyafo is there? You see, it's all right for you to come on a political platform and try to make my list of a situation. I try to to argue the point that you're democratically appointed. There's nothing for 10 years in St. George North, and still you're spinning up in the air and coming right on your face. The other thing is, Dr. Ains, is I heard the government of the Central Bay, and I heard the Standard & Poor's was mentioned over what we are doing.
Yes.
I would like to ask the government of the Central Bay to tell the people about this, the good people about this, how much money is owed in foreign exchange, how much is our external debt, the rate of unemployment in Barbados, and how much has we earned. And unless I get those figures, I could say that we are doing good here. It's all right.
You think that they're saying that we're doing well? I think the argument is that you're meeting some targets set by the IMF, but I don't know that that equates to us doing well, because I did see that there is a 16% decline in the economy. That is us only doing well.
No. What they're saying, and I've never said they're doing well,
okay, tell me.
Really are saying is that the investor confidence is beginning to show.
Okay.
These figures that were brought in your book.
Sure.
You see, I don't know investors, as far as I know, an investor, when he looks at the situation, he looks at the infrastructure and what he can get out of the country. And an investor could come today and next year he decide, well, this is not what he want, and move on. Mm-hmm. So I would really like those figures, especially one for unemployment.
Yes.
Anyhow, have a nice day.
Well, thank you for your call. You have a good day, too. Good morning. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning, Dr. Hines.
Good morning.
I was very pleased just now with your introduction remarks.
Well, thank you.
Introductory remarks, because I was seeing actually the same thing, having all of these women leaders already in the West Indies. It means that America is now trailing. Now, I want to go into St. George.
All right.
And the reason to going into St. George, I listened to some of the presentations pertaining to what was found in St. George. But I want to remind you that after Wednesday, I think St. George people will become more healthier, because the amount of people that invade St. George, both yellow and red, would no longer be around. So you will have some oxygen breathing.
Okay.
And those people would have to return back to whence they came. Then right. They would leave St. George people now to fight with whatever they actually went to the polls and elect. I think the only person that would have to stay in St. George and face what would become a problem or not, out of the other candidates, I think Grosvenor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he still lives in Sweetwater. And Floyd Reefer. Those are the
right.
people who would become, are still as parishioners, are constituents of St. George.
Uh-huh.
A man could come at your house and promise you something, but he may not return. But the man
in this case,
in
a woman.
I said man. I use the word man.
Uh-huh.
But the person that lives in the house, you could continue to ask him where. Then you come back, you can bring the thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is in the house. And he knows from the time he get home, this question will be asked. So I think Floyd is in a perfect position to do what a representative should do. Now, I want St. George to know.
Well, they're all in a position to be representatives, right?
Yes. I want the people in St. George to become the first people to receive what I would consider give back to the monies that they contribute towards with tax. You know that tax that you have to pay on your water bill?
Why would they get this back as opposed to other people?
All right, but that's what I can tell you now. The promises that being laid. Listen.
All right, I listen.
Now, when Owen Seymour Arthur introduced the VAT,
mm-hmm.
And this is what he told me personally. This is nothing that he had to hear on the radio. He said he realized that the people that pay VAT are also the people that are not paying income tax, because they're not working for enough money to pay income tax.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, he came up with a program where you have the reverse taxation. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Because those people still have to go into the supermarket and pay VAT.
Yes.
Now, out of this campaign, never before have it been has been highlighted as to those people who are paying their tax on the water bill.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people in St. George that they are identified because of this by-election. This by-election should be memorial because they have recognized that there are people in St. George that paying that tax, and yet they don't even have in-house toilet, waterborne toilets. So the first thing I would like to happen, that those people who do not have waterborne toilets should be given back all the money they paid on the water rate for that sewage tax, because they don't even have sewage attached, nor they don't have a water toilet. Why should they be paying that tax?
Is this exclusive to St. George North, though? Aren't there other people
across
the
country? I said it should start there. I'm not saying you finished.
But why should it start there? Why shouldn't it be?
Introduction.
Why shouldn't it be implemented across the board if it is something worth implementing?
But I know for sure you will have to sit down and look at the money that you'd be able to give back.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask this other question.
All right.
You pick up that sort of tax, and you came to the public, and you told the public that this money was to finish the sewage tax and help buy some trucks to collect the sewage. All right, I agree with that. Now, you claim you solved the sewage tax, the sewage problem in Christchurch. You brought in trucks, but the tax is still going on.
Right.
Why can't you remove that tax from these same poor people that are unemployed in St. George? Because you said you find people in St. George unemployed at a high rate.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they got to pay water, and if they don't pay the water bill because it's so taxes attached to the water, white people in St. George that can't get water and don't have waterborne toilet should be paying so tax. Could this tax be justifiable?
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I think that this government owed to the country to remove that tax off of those people. That tax is burdening the country. Not necessarily the country, I mean the people having to pay a tax that they are not. I would say if you go to court, it is a tax that is being placed on fear. You cannot charge a man for something he's not receiving. Secondly, I heard this morning.
There's another second. Go ahead.
Did last.
Uh-huh.
I heard this morning that the tax man stating that the former administration did not start a negotiation with zero. Their start is zero. They never introduced any money.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as what Tony Moore has presented and get 5%. But you know what worried me?
What?
The agreement that was made under the Democratic Labor Party and the unions that they would not increase salaries because they prefer not to send home any more people, but to keep jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you agree that you're not increasing the wages and the unions sticking out that they're going to keep raising. Anyhow, the problem is that you give the BSP 5%, but you send home the people. And that was the same project that was put forward by the Democratic Labor Party, that you are not sending home people, but you will not be increasing the salaries. But here comes the Barbados Labor Party, get an increase in salary, and then send home about 2,000 people.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. We have to go to a break. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning. How are you, ma'am?
I'm fine, thanks. How about you?
Well, as I always said, the other moderators when they asked me that question, I don't think I'll ever be all right because I'm not one who, because I might be better off, who don't care about those who are not.
Okay.
So many people going through the tribulations, they're going through, and most things through North fault of their own, it makes me very angry.
Mm. So people, what's bothering you right now?
A lot. And
okay.
I can go to first thing I want to pay, I don't know if I should call it a tribute, but one of your only producer, John Stout.
Oh, he's here today. He's my producer this morning.
Yeah, he's a very brilliant young man, and I think he's way ahead of his years.
Okay.
I know he is a shining example for young people to follow.
I hope he's listening.
He's very, very intelligent, and mm-hmm. what I find and what I like about him, he listens.
Okay.
And that is the key to learning, to listen.
Mm-hmm.
This is everything you listen to can be all right, though. But then it's you who have to make that decision whether you want to carry it out or not. Now, the last brother spoke about be sure step on water bills and all of that. And
yes.
I totally support that. How can you be made to pay for something you're not getting?
True.
How? But you know what the problem is?
What is it?
And you know why parties, political parties in this country will continue to do as they like?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're getting people's money. That's the best way of controlling a person. Get a little handout, and that makes them a good person. But what about the people that they didn't get anything to? What about them? I am so sick and tired of having to say this, but I ain't want to say it. As long as we remain divided among ourselves, as long as we see parties that we support doing foolishness and don't speak out,
yes.
those parties will continue to do as they like.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple, you know. It is unity. So what politicians does both sides keep us divided. You know? I hear things getting criticized by oppositions. And then they get there rather than make it right there, make it worse and not even worse. They do more foolishness. And the supporters of the particular party find all kind of excuses. I was in the bus terminal a few months ago, and I heard a woman defending this government to the hilt. To the hilt. A man told her, "But you get sent home to, not only your husband too." And you know what hurt, Christina? You know what hurt?
What? Tell me.
After you criticize figures, rather than you reduce those figures when you get there, you increase them.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear people saying, "Oh, but the politicians got to live too. The people that were sent home don't get no allowances." I have said this and I will continue saying who gets sick of it, that's their business. They can care less. When you're pruning the tree, you start at the top. Anytime you go to the roots and you're not putting fertilizer to those roots, you are killing that tree. We, the people, are being slaughtered. You got 20 years.
So you are not happy. Are you saying that you're not happy with this particular
anybody
government? Because before it sounded that you were saying both parties do the same thing whenever the government changes hands.
I keep on saying that we need a competent third party. Because maybe going to vote, or we do a swap government, you know.
Is but to a have swap? A competent additional party, and I think I've said this in other places, the party needs to have a mass base. And from what I've seen so far, there certainly are parties that are well-intentioned. But the question is, what is their support base? Do they have a base of supporters? And until there's another party that is going to be able to garner supporters, we will be left with the two parties that we have.
Yeah, you know why too? Because when a third party tried to come to the fore and they get wiped out, they just disappear. They don't try again.
Hmm.
They don't try again. So these two parties think that they have a divine right to govern this place. You got hotels that pour water, costing millions of dollars. Millions. But then going after them, so you know what the solution is? Tax every prison. Tax them.
Hmm.
And if you don't pay the taxes, man, it adds on and it adds up. What can be fair about that?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Okay.
I am not impressed by this government. That's why I say, before the mat done, you increase bus fare.
Mm-hmm.
You send home people first. You increase bus fare. You put on taxes. Tell me who in the right mind people in their right mind know it's that man and come and call his, non, his usual nonsense and find an excuse to them.
Well, let's not say nonsense.
Their right mind can support something like that. I'm not against anybody supporting a party, you know. Mm-hmm. That is your right. But what has me troubled is that when these people do foolishness, they support us. Look at Trump. It's a perfect example.
Well, thank you for your call.